Hey everyone, and welcome back to another deep dive. We've got a really fascinating topic today. And based on the sheer volume of responses we got from you guys, one that's definitely hitting a nerve, we're talking about narcissists and a question that seems to come up time and again, why are they always so angry? You know, and looking at all the messages and stories you've sent in, it's clear that this isn't just a theoretical question. It's something that people are dealing with in their lives every single day. And it's raw, it's unfiltered, and honestly kind of heartbreaking to read some of these accounts.
It's true that the rawness of these stories is really striking.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes this deep dive so important, because we're really going to be able to tap into, you know, the lived experiences of people who are on the front lines of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to try to do is sift through all these different voices, identify recurring themes, and see if we can shed some light on why anger seems to be such a dominant force for these individuals.
Right. And to be clear, you know, we're not clinicians. We're not here to diagnose anyone. This is about understanding the patterns and the dynamics that people are observing in their own lives.
Exactly.
And we've got a huge range of responses from just pure frustration. Like one person who wrote in, you know, bloody hell, it's only 9 a.m. and my father has already ruined my mood to, you know, people offering some pretty insightful theories about what might be going on underneath the surface.
Yeah. And one of the first things that jumps out is that anger seems to be this like default emotion for people described as narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not just that they get angry. Sometimes it's like their baseline is anger as opposed to, you know, neutral or something.
Right, right. And some people are even making a distinction between anger and something more intense, like fury or rage.
Mm.
Like they're saying it's not just regular anger, it's something different.
Yeah, one comment put it this way. Normal people feel anger. Narcissists feel fury. They live in a constant state of it.
Yeah. And the person who originally asked the question, you know, they jumped right in and said, yes, fury is the right word, or rather rage.
Mm.
So, you know, that's definitely something we need to unpack.
Absolutely. And that whole idea of it being a constant state, I think that's really important, because it suggests that it's not just a reaction. It's something much deeper, like a chronic underlying condition almost.
Right.
And speaking of constant, there's this other thing that keeps coming up, the whole talking thing. Like, why do they always have to be talking? Is it that they're afraid of being alone with their own thoughts? Like somebody actually asked, and why do they always keep talking? Are they scared of being with their thoughts?
That's a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. And there's this really powerful response in the comments that says, yes, 110%. The scariest thing is to face their demons inside and what a piece of shit they are.
Wow.
So it does seem like confronting their own inner world is incredibly painful or even terrifying for them.
So maybe all that talking is a way to kind of avoid that. You know, to drown out the inner noise.
Could be, yeah. It could be a form of avoidance or even self-medication in a way.
And that brings us to another really important theme that's emerged. You know, this idea that maybe it's not actually anger that's at the root of it all. It's that they have a really hard time processing other emotions. And, you know, maybe even some unresolved trauma that's fueling it all. Like one person said, many of them tend not to know to process their emotions or unresolved trauma. Miserable people are comfortable with their misery and trying to make others miserable.
Right. So the anger might not be the primary emotion.
Yeah.
It could be a symptom of something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone doesn't have the tools to deal with grief or sadness or fear,
mm-hmm.
anger might be the only emotion they feel equipped to express. And it goes even deeper than that. Someone else wrote, paranoia also comes with rage. It's unchecked trauma, unable to regulate their emotions and their own damn misery that wants you to feel the same as they do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing this potential cycle of, you know, pain and the inability to process it and then projecting it outward onto others.
It's heavy stuff for sure. And it definitely aligns with some of the really difficult experiences that people are sharing. But then there's this other perspective that's coming up, which is that maybe the anger is not some unconscious thing at all. Maybe it's a tool. Maybe they're actually using it strategically to get what they want.
Right.
Some said, because anger is the easiest way to scare people and wrangle them into getting what you want.
And that makes sense in some ways, because, you know, fear can be a powerful motivator in relationships.
Totally.
And what some of these stories are highlighting is the performative aspect of the anger. Like it's not just an internal feeling. It's a behavior that's used to intimidate and control others.
Uh-huh.
And the comparison to the whole Karen
phenomena. The stereotypical person who uses aggression to get their way is definitely relevant here.
Yeah, and there's this sense that some people have learned to respond in kind, you know, to fight fire with fire.
Right.
And someone even suggested that underneath all that bluster might be immaturity and cowardice.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely rings true in some cases.
Right.
You know, it's a classic psychological defense mechanism to use aggression to mask insecurity and vulnerability.
Totally.
So if someone is deeply insecure, they might project an image of anger and strength to keep others at bay.
And that actually ties in nicely with another theme that's coming up, the whole victim complex thing.
Uh-huh.
This idea that they have this deeply ingrained victimhood mentality and they can't or won't take responsibility for their own mistakes.
Right.
So they're constantly frustrated because the world isn't bending to their will. Like someone put it, they're in constant agony over not getting their way.
Right. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
If you constantly see yourself as a victim and blame everyone else for your problems, then you're never going to be happy because you're never going to take ownership of your own life.
Mm.
And that frustration can easily manifest as anger.
It's a vicious cycle, for sure. But okay, now this next one is really interesting, and I'm curious to hear your take on it. A lot of people are saying that it all boils down to self-hatred. Like deep down, they hate themselves, but they can't admit it, so they project all that negativity outward as anger.
Yeah, it's a powerful theory, and it definitely resonates with some of the stories we're seeing. You know, it makes sense psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't accept your own flaws and shortcomings, it can be incredibly painful to even look at them, let alone own them. So projecting them onto others can be a way to avoid that pain.
Right. Like one person said, I think it's because they hate themselves so much but won't accept it, so they are basically on fire, 247.
It's a very vivid image, and I think it captures that sense of internal turmoil that a lot of people are describing.
And then there's this other idea, which is kind of related, that maybe expressing all that anger actually gives them some kind of relief.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a release, almost like a physical release.
Right. It's like they're letting off steam.
Yeah. One person even compared it to sneezing. They said, it's the only emotion they can process. It doesn't feel to them bad. It's a relief for them, like a sneeze.
That's an interesting analogy.
Yeah.
And it might explain why they seem to almost enjoy being angry. It could be that it's a way to cope with other more difficult emotions.
Like if they're feeling anxious or sad, maybe lashing out at someone gives them a sense of control or power.
Exactly. It's a way to shift the focus outward and avoid dealing with those uncomfortable feelings internally.
Right. And that actually brings us back to the whole control issue, which is a huge theme in all of this. People are saying that the need for control is so strong that any perceived threat to that control can trigger a massive anger response.
Right. And that makes sense. If their sense of self-worth is tied to being in control, then anything that challenges that control is going to feel like a personal attack.
Yeah, like someone gave this example of them getting incredibly angry over something as trivial as the bus being late.
It's like they can't handle anything that disrupts their carefully constructed reality, even if it's something completely out of their control.
And of course, we can't talk about all of this without acknowledging the impact it has on the people around them. You know, the people who are constantly walking on eggshells, trying not to trigger an outburst.
Right. It creates this incredibly toxic and stressful environment where people are constantly afraid of saying or doing the wrong thing.
And someone made this really heartbreaking comment about how narcissists seem to be incapable of feeling genuine positive emotions toward other people. Like they said, they are just incapable of positive emotions related to other people. Then only negative ones remain and overflow any situation. It's like how you get angry for hitting your toe with furniture. We are the furniture for them.
Wow. That's a really powerful and sad analogy. It really highlights the one-sidedness of these relationships. And it makes you wonder if maybe the anger is just filling a void where other more positive emotions should be.
Right. Like maybe it's not so much that they choose to be angry, but that they simply don't have access to other ways of being.
Yeah. And someone else pointed out that they might be able to show positive emotions, but only when it serves their own purposes.
Okay.
So it's not like they're completely incapable of it, but there's always this underlying sense of self-interest.
Okay. So we've got all this anger and we've talked about potential causes, but there is also this theory that some of it might be a deliberate ploy to get attention or to manipulate people. Like they're using these negative emotional outbursts to elicit reactions from others.
Right. And that fits with the whole idea of them needing to be the center of attention.
Totally.
And as we talked about earlier, fear can be a powerful tool for controlling others. So if they can create a climate of fear and uncertainty, then they can manipulate people into giving them what they want.
Like One person said, narcs often use emotions as tools for attention and manipulation. To them, any reaction is good.
And it's important to remember that even negative attention is still attention. So even if someone is reacting with anger or fear, the narcissist is still getting a response which can be reinforcing for them.
And that actually leads us to another really interesting connection that people are making between anger and fear. Like they're saying that maybe the anger is a mask for deep-seated fear. Someone wrote, they are cowards, so they are constantly scared. The most basic response to being scared is anger.
Right, and we know that fear can trigger a fight-or-flight response.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that fight response might manifest as anger or aggression.
And then there's the whole frustration-anger connection, which is something that psychologists have been studying for a long time.
Right, the frustration-anger hypothesis.
Yeah, like when you're blocked from achieving a goal or getting what you want, that frustration can build up and spill over into anger.
If someone has a very low tolerance for frustration, or if their desires are constantly being thwarted, then that anger is going to be a much more frequent occurrence.
And one person put it really bluntly. They said, literally, toddler tier behavior from a human development standpoint. They are stunted kids with no emotional maturity.
Ouch.
Yeah. But it does kind of make sense when you think about it. Like if someone hasn't developed the emotional skills to regulate their own feelings, then they're going to react in more primitive ways.
Here, and that lack of emotional maturity might also explain why they have such a hard time empathizing with others. Because empathy requires you to be able to understand and regulate your own emotions first.
Right, right. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but there's one more theory that I think is worth exploring. It's a little bit more complex, but it really resonated with me, and it seems to tie a lot of these threads together.
Okay, I'm interested to hear this.
So the idea is that it all starts with this deep-seated sense of worthlessness.
Uh-huh.
But they can't acknowledge that, so they create this false reality, this idealized image of themselves, and then they spend all their energy trying to maintain that facade.
Right.
And that constant pressure to keep up appearances, to be perfect, to be in control, it creates this incredible internal tension, and that tension comes out as anger.
Right. It's like they're constantly on edge, afraid that someone's going to see through the mask.
Exactly.
And they might lash out at others as a way to deflect attention from their own perceived flaws.
And one person even suggested that they might be unconsciously trying to traumatize others as a way to relieve their own internal pressure. Like, if they can make someone else feel small or insignificant, then it makes them feel bigger and more powerful by comparison.
That's a pretty dark interpretation.
Yeah.
But it does make a certain kind of sense.
And then there's this other layer, which is that they have all these internal rationalizations for their behavior.
Right.
So they might convince themselves that they're the real victim, or that they're justified in being angry because everyone else is wrong or stupid or whatever.
It's a way to avoid taking responsibility for their actions and maintain that sense of righteousness.
And that brings us to this whole idea of anger as a defense mechanism. Like, they're so afraid of being exposed as fake or malevolent
mm-hmm.
that they use anger to push people away and prevent them from getting too close.
Right. It's like a preemptive strike.
Yeah. Someone said, BC, they are fake and they know it. They are bitter and self-loathing and use anger as a defense mechanism in order to feel superior.
And that fear of exposure might also explain why they're so paranoid about other people finding out about their secrets or weaknesses.
Maybe they're in debt or they've cheated on their partner or something.
Right. And that paranoia can fuel the anger even more because they're constantly on guard waiting for someone to call them out.
And a lot of people are reporting that the anger actually gets worse after they've been exposed or after they've lost control of a situation.
It's like they're doubling down on the defense mechanisms because they're even more terrified of being seen for who they really are.
Right. It's like a cornered animal lashing out. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of potential explanations for this anger, but where does that leave us? Like, what can people do if they're dealing with someone who's constantly angry and volatile?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand that this is a very complex issue and there's no easy fix. But there are some things that people can do to protect themselves and to try to manage the situation. And one of the terms that keeps coming up in the comments is narcissistic rage.
Mm-hmm.
And people are recommending that listeners do some research on that specific phenomenon because it can be really helpful to understand the dynamics involved.
Right. And it sounds like one of the key things is to detach emotionally as much as possible.
Yeah, there's this technique called gray rocking, which is basically about becoming as boring and unresponsive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not giving them the emotional reaction they're looking for. You're not feeding the fire.
And it's also important to create a safe space for yourself, both physically and emotionally.
Absolutely. If you're in a situation that feels dangerous, you need to remove yourself from that situation.
Right. Your safety always comes first. And there was a book recommendation that I thought was really interesting. It's called You're Not the Problem.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one. It's supposed to be really helpful for people who are dealing with narcissistic parents.
Yeah. And apparently it talks about this concept of supply, which is basically the narcissist's need for attention and validation.
Right. They feed off of other people's reactions.
And so the key is to starve them of that supply by not giving them the reactions they're looking for.
Which can be incredibly difficult, especially if it's someone you're close to.
Mm.
But it's important to remember that you're not responsible for their behavior.
Right. You can't control how they act, but you can control how you respond.
Exactly.
Okay, so to wrap things up, it seems like the main takeaways here are that this constant anger is probably not about you. It's about them and their own internal struggles, whether it's fear, insecurity, self-loathing, difficulty processing emotions, or a combination of all of those things.
And it's important to remember that these are just observations and theories based on people's lived experiences.
Right. We're not diagnosing anyone.
But these insights can be incredibly valuable for understanding the dynamics at play and for figuring out how to navigate these challenging relationships.
Totally. And so as we kind of close this out, I'm going to leave you with a final thought.
Okay.
If we think about all the different perspectives we've explored and all the potential reasons behind this constant anger, what do you think is the hardest thing for someone who's experiencing this to grapple with? And what could be a first small step towards some kind of understanding or maybe even change? And I want to emphasize here that this isn't about putting the responsibility on the person who's on the receiving end of the anger.
Right. It's about trying to understand the other person's perspective without excusing their behavior.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that they're in pain too, even if they're expressing it in harmful ways.
And maybe that recognition, that spark of empathy, can be a starting point for a different kind of conversation.
A conversation that's based on compassion and understanding rather than blame and judgment.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that's where healing can begin.
Maybe. Well, thank you all for sharing your stories and for joining us on this really intense deep dive.
It's been an eye-opening conversation for sure.
Until next time.